I'd like to look at something with you yet from this booklet. Okay, I have one for Gary. Do you have one, Gary? Scott. And we're going to skip over lesson three and move to, I think, lesson four right now. I can do that. We can jump back and forth. Yeah, the one with the 12 eggs, okay? And there's a simple thought here, but I think it's good for us to take to heart yet before we end the meeting. And we've heard so many good things and been challenged to see God, to make the best use of our time, to believe that Jesus is alive and that makes all the difference in our life. And now we're going to read about Jesus choosing the 12 apostles. Jesus had many disciples, many followers, but God had ordained that 12 of those would have a special ministry, a special call over their lives. And so in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, it says that Jesus prayed all night before he chose from among the disciples 12 that would be with him all the time. A disciple's a learner, someone who disciplines their life according to the teaching and example of someone else. We mentioned this morning that John the Baptist had disciples. People followed him. They listened to his teaching. They followed his example. And there are many people that have had disciples. Jesus had many disciples, but there came a time when God showed him that from these disciples there were 12 that he should ordain to be his apostles. An apostle is one who's sent with a special commission. And it says here there are 12 disciples. I wrote this because that's a song that you learn in the primary department. If I asked you, could you name the 12 apostles, could anybody do that by memory without singing the song? I can't do that. And then you've got the problem with Bartholomew and Thaddeus and Nathaniel and who's who. Some seem to have more than one name. But it goes like this, bringing in the sheaves, right? Remember that song? There were 12 disciples Jesus called to help him. Simon, Peter, Andrew, James, his brother John, Philip, Thomas, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Thaddeus, Simon, Judas, and Bartholomew. You heard that before?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way to memorize it. I'm gonna do that somewhere along the way. We teach that to our children in our primary department, and it sticks with them over the years. So let's look at that passage there in Luke chapter 6, and beginning with verse 12 here. It says, in those days it came to pass that he, Jesus, went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. You learn much about the prayer life of Jesus, particularly in the Gospel of Luke, you'll notice. And it seems that often Jesus got alone to be with his Father. And he had a very busy schedule, and so sometimes he had to get up early in the morning before the crowds woke up and spend time with God. Some people say, I'm too busy to spend time with God. Other people say, I'm too busy not to spend time with God. I have to. I believe it was Dr. Gray who ministered at camp a number of times over the years. But he was a Greek scholar as well as just a wonderful Bible teacher all around and godly man. And he said that there's a passage that indicates in the Greek that the more the crowds continued to come to Jesus, the more he had to get away to pray. The more the crowds came seeking Jesus and help from him, the more he had to get away to pray. So Jesus was not too busy to pray. He was too busy not to pray. And Brother Bowers used to tell us, Brother Bowers was the pastor of the Canarsie Church, he said, if you want something done, ask a busy man. And that didn't make sense to me at first, and then I began to understand. busy people know how to manage their time. They know how to get things done. And so if you need something done, ask a busy person. Don't ask a lazy person, a person who has too much time on their hands. They may never get around to it, but busy people know how to prioritize and so on. Okay, so back to the Bible. Verse 12, verse 13, it came to pass in those days he went, and he continued all night in prayer. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. This list of the apostles is given to us in all of the Gospels, and in all of the Gospels, I believe Peter is mentioned first among them all. In time, in Matthew chapter 10, Jesus sends these 12 out, and he sends them to minister in his name and to go into towns that he would eventually come to. They went to prepare the way. And in Matthew chapter 10, it says, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. It's interesting to note that Judas Iscariot was part of this, right? That he was given authority in the name of Jesus to cast out devils, right? And to heal all manner of sickness. And as you read the scriptures, there's no reason to believe that he did not participate in that and that God didn't use him in that way. And then it says these are the names of the 12. And some scholars feel that this particular list in Matthew is given in pairs. Jesus sent them out two by two. And the way it's worded, it appears that these were the ones that were paired up. Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the publican. James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbeus, whose surname was Thaddeus. Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot. That must have been some pair. Simon the Canaanite and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them and told them where to minister and to trust him to supply all their needs. But back to Luke, where Jesus first calls these apostles, it tells us that that he had called them, first of all, to be with him. We find that particularly mentioned to us in Mark chapter 3, where it speaks about the same incident where Jesus called his apostles. But just turn to Mark chapter 3, beginning with verse 13. It gives us some details there that are very important for us to consider. And he goeth up into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Okay, Luke told us already that he prayed all night before he did this, and who they were. And then he ordained them 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And then again, the list is given with Peter leading the list. There are four things that were mentioned. Jesus chose these apostles and he gave them power to do certain things, but their first call was to be with him. And that is very significant. Their first call was to spend time with Jesus. And that's where they got their training. That's where God developed them into the vessels that he would use to further his kingdom. It was by spending time with Jesus, spending time listening to his teaching, spending time observing him, praying, spending time just watching the way he lived and the way he responded to situations and the way he reached out to people. Their first call was to spend time to be with him. And flowing out of that fellowship would be preaching and healing the sick and casting out devils. You know, that's our first call. We're not called, perhaps, to be apostles, but every one of us, our first call, and we see it in other places in the Bible, is to be with Jesus. That's your first call. That's the most important thing that we can do with our lives. And the best way that we can spend time with him. How much time do we give to Christ each day? How much time do we spend with him? I've always been impressed with the story of David Wilkerson. I remember reading The Cross and the Switchblade. And he talked about how, as a preacher, a Pentecostal preacher living in Pennsylvania, he spent a lot of time watching television back then. A couple of hours a day. And he was having some struggles in ministry and so on, and some questions. And the Lord impressed upon him, if you would spend the time that you use watching TV to get alone with God and to get into the Bible and spend time in prayer, God would do something with your life that you would have never imagined. And so the Lord impressed him so strongly that he decided to do that. He put his television set up for, put his television set for sale. And he advertised, I guess in the local paper, television set. Children weren't too excited about that, but he felt this is what God wanted him to do, and he laid a fleece before the Lord that the first person that calls, if they buy the television set, I'll know this is what God wants me to do. And so the phone rang, and he didn't recognize the number, but he picked it up anyway. And the fella, without seeing the TV set, just agreed to buy it, sight unseen. And so he knew this was God, and so now he had to follow through. And so he got alone, and he shut himself in his office, and he picked up the Bible and said, okay, now I'm going to spend these 2 hours, or however long it was, with the Lord. And he said, boy, that was hard to begin with. And 2 hours seemed like 5 hours. It just... He prayed all the prayers he thought he could pray. But as time went on, it got easier. And he was very careful about being regular. And one day, his wife and children were out of the house visiting relatives. And he couldn't sleep very well that night. So he went to his office and he said, I'm going to pick up my Bible and I'm going to spend some time with the Lord. And as he was sitting at his desk, there was a Time magazine on his desk. And he was got interested in that magazine, and he picked it up, and he was about ready to thumb through it. And then he said, uh-oh, no way. I'm not going to let that magazine distract me. I'm spending time with the Lord. So he put it down, and he tried to pray again. But he was drawn to that magazine for some reason. And when he opened up the magazine, there was a picture of a number of teenagers that were arrested in New York City having murdered a disabled young man in a wheelchair, I believe it was, in Central Park. And they were arrested and they were on trial for murder. And they were just young teenagers. And he said, when I looked at their faces, I began to weep uncontrollably. And he said, I didn't understand why. I didn't know who those kids were. And but there was something about their plight and the look on their faces that just filled him with compassion and broke him. And then the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to go to New York and help those boys. Well, he didn't know how, he didn't know where, But he determined that he was going to get to New York, and he was going to get to the courthouse somehow, and he was going to find those boys, and he was going to help them and be a blessing to them, because he knew this is what God wanted. Well, he tried to. He went to the courthouse, not knowing the procedure. He went to approach the judge, and he was walking up to the bench, and I think he got tackled by the court guards and so on, and he was kicked out of the courtroom and forbidden under penalty of being arrested of ever coming back to that courthouse. Well, he felt he really blew it, and he was all confused and didn't know what this was all about. Went back home and tried to make sense of it all. Was embarrassed. Turns out that his picture was in the paper the next day, holding up his Bible, and it just added to his humiliation. People in the congregation were not too proud of their pastor that made a fool of himself. But the gang members were very impressed with him, because they were always in trouble with the cops. And now they liked the fact that this guy was in trouble with the cops too. So he was one of them. They had something in common. And the Lord used that to actually open the door for him to preach to gang members in New York City. And as a result, Nicky Cruz was one of his converts. I heard Nicky Cruz last year. He's in his 80s. He's still preaching. Strong Puerto Rican accent. Still sounds like a gang member. He still talks like a gang member, but filled with the love of Christ. And an interesting story. I was talking to Brother Joshua, and he attended Brooklyn Tabernacle. He came originally from the Williamsburg Church. And he was telling me one day, he said, I was asked, Nicky Cruz was coming to Brooklyn Tabernacle to preach, and I was asked to go pick him up at the airport. So I went and I got him. And we got to talking, and we found out that we kind of grew up in the same neighborhood and so on. And I said, here's my chance. I've had a question that I wanted to ask him for years. And so he said, Brother Nicky, can I ask you a question? Do you remember when you were preaching in England in 19-whatever? He said, yeah, I remember that. And he said, well, I was stationed there at that time. And me and my friend found out that you were preaching in this church, and so we asked for a pass, and we came to hear you preach. And he said, and the first thing you did when you got up, you stood behind the pulpit, and you said, the devil's a liar! And then you went on to preach. And he said, what was that all about? He said, I remember that. I remember that very well. He said, when I was sitting there getting ready to come to preach, the devil was telling me that nobody's going to understand your English. You're not going to get anywhere. Nobody's going to respond. You might as well just forget it and let somebody else do the talking. And he said, and I was just dealing with the devil. And when I stood up behind that pulpit, I just said, the devil's a liar. And then I went and preached, and he had a wonderful response. And a number of people came to salvation that night. And so now he finally got his answer after 20 years why Nicky Cruz said the devil was a liar. Anyway, interesting story. Now where was I? That's good.
Get alone with God.
Get alone. Yes, that's it. Thank you. Okay. And so David Wilkerson preached, and Nicky Cruz came to the Lord, and God used him to minister to thousands and thousands over the years, and still using him in his latter years. But he would have missed all that. He would have missed that call entirely if he didn't spend time with God and get along with Jesus and sacrifice the time that he spent watching TV because he felt that God had something more for him. I told this story to the kids in Vacation Bible School some years ago. I used to like to act out stories. I'd usually have a suitcase, and I'd have all these things in it, and I'd pull out David Wilkerson's Bible. Really wasn't, but I told them it was. And I had a switchblade, which was really just a comb, but when you pressed it, it came out. And I told about Nicky Cruz and tried to make it interesting for them. And I actually went to the library, and I looked up the microfilm of that
Time Magazine, 1956 or 7, something like that. And I looked up and I saw the picture that David Wilkerson had looked upon and was so deeply moved by. It was just an artist's drawing of the kids in the courtroom. It was an actual photograph. And I looked at that picture. It didn't affect me at all. Here, he looks at the picture and he breaks down and cries uncontrollably. There was nothing about the picture. But it was because through the time that he spent with the Lord, God made his heart so tender, and God was able to make him to see those young people the way Jesus saw them. You know, when you spend time with Jesus, you become like him. And you see things the way he does. He gives you the mind of Christ. You begin to feel things the way he feels things. And when God brings you into that place, then God can use you in ways that he couldn't use you before. And so our first call, the first call of the apostles, God had great plans over their life and was going to use them to turn the world upside down. But it all hinged upon their first call to be with him. And for the next 3 years or so, they just spent their time living with Jesus, eating with Jesus, traveling with Jesus. And much of their training and much of their preparation was just being with him. Then he called them to preach, and he anointed them to heal the sick and cast out devils. But it all flowed out of that fellowship, that time that they spent with him. I was challenged by that, and I'm still challenged by that story of David Wilkerson. And every once in a while, I ask myself, am I spending enough time with Jesus? You ever ask yourself that question? Am I spending enough time with him? Does he have something that he'd like to do with my life that he can't do because I'm not giving him the time that he needs? Those are very important questions to ask ourselves. The devil, he wants to get us busy and occupy us with so many trivial things and tie us up and rob God of the time that he wants of us. And we have to be aware of that. I was listening to Brother Mike Corrigan, as a matter of fact. They were having a baptism service at his church last Sunday. And I am subscribed to all of our fellowship ministers' churches, so I can listen to every sermon, find out what happens Sunday, and I like to do that. I don't get a chance to listen to the whole sermon, but I get little snippets. And Brother Mike was talking. He read something about the devil had talked to his demons and how they were going to undermine the Christians. And he talked about how the devil told him, just keep the Christians busy. Get them involved in Facebook and other things on the internet, and get them so busy that they have no time hardly to spend with God at all. And in that way, we'll defeat them. There'll be no power. And he goes on, it's a very interesting but it just touches upon so many practical things that we get all taken up with. And before we know it, the day's over. And we hardly spent any time with Jesus, hardly spent any time waiting on God, spending time in the Word. And so I asked myself that, Lord, do I need to spend more time with you? That's one thing that I love about camp. I can spend so much more time with God while I'm here at camp, and I always determined to do that. I always like to wait after the meeting on God as long as I feel the Lord wants me to and keeps me there. I don't have other responsibilities other than my ministry here at camp right now to take me away from that. And I come to camp not only to minister, but I come and I say, Lord, I need to be here. I need to spend time with you. And I always go home refreshed and renewed and enabled to continue more of that. God, show me, make a way for me in my daily schedule now. Make that a priority in my life. Make spending time with Jesus the most important thing, because I really have no ministry apart from that. Oh, you can preach sermons, but they won't do anybody any good. They won't make any lasting difference in anybody's life. They won't stir up a response in anybody's heart. That has to come by spending time with Jesus. That has to come from the anointing that he places on you when you spend time in his presence. I can't heal anyone that's sick, and I can't cast out any demons, except that I spend time with Jesus. Jim Cimbala preached this, Pastor Cimbala, and he said that he preached this, I think it was in North Carolina, when he went to meet Billy Graham. And Billy Graham was in a wheelchair. He wasn't very strong at that point, and so he couldn't attend the meeting. But Jim Cimbala preached, and Billy Graham's grandson was there, and then he told Jim Cimbala, he said, listen, Grandpa said that if you have a moment, he'd like to meet you. So jump in the car and we'll get there. And so he went to see Billy Graham. And the grandson said, Grandpa Billy, he preached a wonderful sermon tonight. He preached about our first call. He said, our first call is to be with Jesus. And then the other calls flow out of that. And he said, Billy Graham shook his head and said, yes, I need to do more of that. This is Billy Graham agreeing that that's our first call, spend time with him. So I want to just read this to you. Here it goes on to say, let Jesus be the center. Be careful not to get out of the center Christ and into the center service for Christ. This is a word that was given to our fellowship some years ago, and it's been passed on to us, and particularly as we were training for ministry. And I realize, after being in ministry for over 40 years, what a needed word that is. It's so easy to get to put the serving Jesus first, and spending time with him, letting Christ be the center. We can neglect that. And I've been guilty of that at times, I'm sure, over the years. And I had to get back to that. Lord, I'm getting so busy serving you, but I'm not spending the time with you that I used to and the time that I need. And I don't see the fruit in my ministry because Christ is no longer the center, but service is becoming more important to me. And so the Lord calls us to make that adjustment and to steal away and get away with him. Our ministry ought to be the overflow of our fellowship with Jesus. And then God always honors the time that we spend with him. Sometimes we get alone with the Lord and we don't feel his presence, and maybe our thoughts even begin to wander and we have to keep bringing them back, maybe reading the Bible or trying to pray. And sometimes you get up and you say, well, that was a waste of time. I didn't get anywhere. But God always honors the time you spend with Jesus. And you need to approach it with that attitude. Lord, whether I'm distracted or not, you see the effort. You see the desire to spend time with you. You see that I'm expressing my dependence upon you by getting alone to wait on you. And Lord, I believe that no time spent with the Lord is in vain. Jesus taught us to abide in him. That means to spend time with him, to be united to him, to keep in fellowship with him. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. And so we see this in Jesus' teaching. He emphasized that throughout his ministry. Abide in me. Stay close to me. That's your first call. There's a verse in John chapter 12, I think it's verse 26, that says, if any man will serve me, let him follow me. that where I am, there shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. He says, if you want to serve me, your first call is to follow me. Get as close to me as you can. I close with this thought. There's other verses here that you can look up yourself. But when I was living up at Pilgrim Camp many years ago, 1978, 79, I came up to camp to seek God's will for my life. We were given that opportunity. They needed some young men to be here all year round, take care of the grounds, and be under the ministry of Brother and Sister Gardner. And I didn't know that I was called to ministry, and I didn't know that I was going to train for ministry. But I just knew that I wanted to get closer to Jesus. I wanted to learn more of his word. And as I began to deal with God about what I should do with my life, and now should I leave camp and go to college? Should I pursue this career or that career? And the Lord gave me that verse. It drew my attention to that verse. If any man will serve me, let him follow me. And I understood by that whatever service God had for me in whatever, my first call was to get as close to Jesus as I could. And that if I would make that my goal, to get as close to Jesus and live as close to Jesus as I could, then he would make sure that I was where I was supposed to be, doing what I was supposed to be doing when I was supposed to be there. And that's sort of been a principle that I've tried to live by. When I seek God's will for my life, I don't have all the answers all the time, but I know that if I seek and get closer to Jesus, that God will work out his will in me in his own way. And so let's move this up on the list of priorities. This is our first call. While you're here at camp, your first call is to get as close to Jesus as you can and to learn to live that way. And you'll find that if you put that first, God's going to begin to open doors for you. God's going to send opportunities. They're going to come your way, and you're going to pray about those things and go through the doors that you feel God has opened for you. But if you neglect to spend time with Jesus, many of those opportunities will never find their way to you. And so we don't want to get to the end of our life and ever look back and feel we missed God's call, that God could have done so much more with my life if I would have just given him a chance. But we got to really be very definite about this. And I trust that there are those here tonight that will determine, with the help of God, I'm going to spend more time with Jesus, and I'm going to give God a chance to speak to me and prepare me for the things that he has ordained for my life. The most important thing is knowing him and then doing his will. And God has given me time to find that, and so I'm going to take advantage of every moment. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just look to him in closing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, we need the Holy Spirit to impress these things upon us, don't we? You can leave this meeting and forget what we talked about. Or we can say, Lord, put these things in my heart and don't let me get away from them. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it told thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Let's continue singing that song in closing. We'll find the page.
Praise God.
3:45. And we'll start with the second verse.
Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. All the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend.
Again.
Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious
Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, do it for us, Jesus, we pray. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, God. Sound this call forcefully into our lives. Jesus, as never before. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we need to spend time with you, Lord. We pray that you'll make it so real to us and that the call to be alone with God will grip our hearts as never before. Jesus, our young people, Lord, we pray that in their busy life and in all the demands and all the other calls upon their time and strength, we pray that their first call will be to be with Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, if we've gotten away from that, get us back to putting you first in our lives, in our day. And then, Lord, we pray that as we spend time in fellowship with you and we walk closely with you, that you, Lord, will lead us in paths of righteousness, that you will open doors for us, that you will guide us into places that we never dreamed we'd ever end up, and use us in ways that we never thought possible. Oh, God, use us for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Cover this camp with your blood tonight and let your sweet presence blanket this whole camp. Oh, God, put your seal upon that which you've done for us today and to continue building day by day until all that you desire will be accomplished in all of our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Praise God. We are dismissed, but you're certainly welcome to wait on God, even for a little while. Praise God. Let God put his seal upon what he said to you tonight. Amen.
read recently that the Lord spoke to Brother Hans Waldfogel through Martha Robinson, the lady of whom the book Radiant Glory was written. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I haven't been able to show you how greatly you need to get alone with me. And that you need to get alone with me more than to come and hear what Mrs. Robinson has to say to you. And Hans Waldfogel took that to heart. And instead of coming as often as he did to go to hear Mrs. Robinson and God minister to him through her, he got alone with God himself. And that's when God began to do new things in his life, and open up new ministries for him. When you think of the fact that that man got the light to purchase this property in 1946 so that they could bring their Sunday school classes up here. And I'm sure he had no idea or no way of knowing what God had in mind for Pilgrim Camp and for the thousands and thousands of lives that would pass through this place and find Jesus in a greater way. But he was in the place to hear the voice of the Spirit and to do what God had led him to do. Maybe he had some inkling that it was going to be much greater than just Sunday school classes from Ridgewood. But I marvel at that. And it all came from spending time alone with him. Oh, we can't emphasize that enough.